biggest federal labor union accuses two agencies of illegally outsourcing jobs. The American Federation of Government Employees asks the White House to review the actions. The Park Service admits Independence National Historical Park in Philadelphia hired contractors to mow the lawn to augment federal custodians. AFGE says the Coast Guard plans to hire contractors for a user fee program at a documentation center in West Virginia. We examine the intricacies in this week's Legal Loop. Attorney Sherry Cannon of Tully Rinke joins us. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So is this something simply that agencies didn't do an A76 evaluation, or is it a more deeper legal issue?
I think it's a little bit of the A76 and a little bit deeper. When this administration took over, it issued directives basically banning the use of A76 while they took a look at it. So the agencies are not supposed to be using outsourcing, which is a public-private competition, in order to fill jobs. That's not what these two agencies are doing, however. They are outsourcing, but they're not using the A76 process. Nonetheless, what has happened all over the government is that the budgets are shrinking, and agencies have to decide where to put their money, and they're putting it on their core missions. And so when you have these other missions, such as the custodians in Philadelphia and up in West Virginia with the Coast Guard, they're coming up with more creative ways to actually do the mission. The problem is it's probably not saving them any money, which appears to be their driving force. They want to save money, but it won't.
Well, let's get to that in a moment. But first, I just have a legal question for you. So the rules that govern this, are they simply rules or are they actually statutes and have the power of law?
Well, the A76 statute has the power of law, and in it, it says you cannot use outsourcing in order to get around personnel ceilings. So,
and what is a personnel ceiling exactly?
A personnel ceiling is generally you are in each government agency has a certain number of individual civilian personnel that they're allowed to carry at any one time. And each agency generally sets that within the range of their budgets, and it's driven by money more than anything else. And so what you're not supposed to do is use alternate means of obtaining labor, like contracted labor, to get around levels that they've placed on themselves as far as how many civilian personnel work for that particular agency. This isn't a new these particular agencies are doing is not a new trick. It's just a continuation of what you've seen over the years with agencies trying to use what little money they have to get their jobs done.
And what's the rationale for that? For example, I can see where an agency which has a very small budget can only have a certain amount of full-time employees, but can have work provided by contractors that fulfills the mission. What's the rationale for not letting them do that?
Well, there's several rationale. First of all, I think several studies have shown over the last several years and during that competition process during the last administration that it doesn't really save you any money to hire contractors. But initially, if it is a short-term need, it probably does. And the reason for that is when you hire federal employees, you not only have to pay their salaries, but you have to pay benefits and other things that are attendant to being a full-time federal employee. When you hire contractors, you're writing a check for a flat fee, and the contractors pay their employees whatever they're paying them. So if it's a short-term need, sometimes it will save them money and get them through a hump. What I've seen on your coverage and other media coverage of these two particular agencies, it doesn't appear to be a short-term issue. It appears to be long-term. And each of these agencies only has so much money to spend. And they have made the calculus that it is cheaper to do it this way than to hire feds, and I'm not so sure that it'll turn out that way in the end.
But there's also the issue of flexibility because, say, the lawn mowing or whatever it is they're doing down there, the custodial work, has a seasonal duration. Wouldn't an agency prefer to have a contractor for the season, and then you can cut back spending when the season is over and just keep the people you had already in place for whatever else you do during the winter?
That is a good point, and oftentimes various agencies do hire seasonal employees, but you can. There is a flexibility. OPM gives agencies flexibility to hire seasonal employees and temporary employees, and temporary and seasonal employees are much like contractors in that they don't have a long-term relationship with the government, they don't earn benefits, and they're strictly paid for those temporary duties, for instance, snow removal in some of the northern locations of, on Air Force bases or Army bases. That's strictly a seasonal job as well. National Park Service hires a lot of kids to do summer jobs when they have a seasonal need in the parks in the summer. Those people are federal employees, but for a very short duration.
Now, does this law, and maybe it seems obvious, but does it apply to people who are not unionized or do not have a job that is a union-covered job?
Yes. The A76 outsourcing law applies to the federal government. It doesn't apply to any particular people. It applies to the agencies. So, yes, while the unions are raising this, and I believe they have a very good point, the idea that they could outsource, the agencies could outsource any job if they had a need for such.
And we're speaking with, sounds like somebody's a contractor at your house, Sherry Cannon.
It's at my office, and yes, you're correct, upstairs.
Sherry Cannon is a partner at Tully Rinke, already at the office very early. We appreciate that. Tell us about the case at the place, the National Vessel Documentation Center. The leadership there says that they are not, in fact, outsourcing. The union says they are. What's going on in that case?
Well, from what it appears that they have added a new fee, and agencies can only charge fees for certain things that they do to the public if they've got authority from Congress. So obviously this agency has authority from Congress to charge these fees. And so now they're adding a new fee because the existing fees apparently don't appear to be enough to generate enough income to keep them afloat. And so what's going on up there is they say we have a civilian personnel performing the old fees, but now we're going to hire outside people to do the new fees. What the union is saying is, no, 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 a fee is a fee. It's the same work, and you're violating the law that says you can't, or at least the presidential directive at this point, that you're not to outsource civilian personnel jobs to contractors. And so it's really comes down to whether you believe what the Coast Guard is saying is true, that they don't have the money to pay these people as federal employees. The problem is if you don't have money, you don't have money. It doesn't really matter whether you're paying a contractor or a civilian employee to do the work. You can't spend more money than you've got. And so it's going to come down up there at the Coast Guard facility to whether or not the union can convince both the Coast Guard and, I guess, the White House that this is improper.
So the Coast Guard is technically right that they're not converting jobs. In this case, it's an issue of adding jobs that the union contends should be their jobs rather than outsource.
Right. Well, and it's all a matter of semantics. The prohibition is on taking current civilians and converting them to contractors. So what the agency in that case is saying is, no, no, we're not doing that. And what the union is saying is it's not new work that requires new people to be hired. The existing people could do this work. You're just charging another fee. And so, yes, that's what it comes down to, is that are they doing something new that requires more people, or are they just doing the same thing, just more of it?
So it really seems like agencies are in a bind if they, for whatever reason, want to, or they think that work will be best done by a contractor. And we've talked about motives in terms of money, but I'm sure there are other situations where they just perhaps don't want to carry another federal employee, or they don't want to have the hiring process that takes a while. They want somebody very quickly. So are they really just stuck in any of those situations?
Well, yes and no. These are unique circumstances that are being described at these two agencies. When it comes to contracting for certain things that the government must do but doesn't have the expertise to do, there's authority to do that. You see that especially with the Department of Defense has a lot of contractors that work for them doing things that government workers can't do. On the flip side of that is there is also OPM authority that allows, if you need experts to do something, there's OPM authority that allows you to quickly hire an expert as a federal employee to do something that you don't have the expertise to do. So there are ways to do, both proper contracting for things you can't do as well as proper hiring for things you can't do. In neither of these cases does it look like you need an expert or a big contractor to do the work.
Now, how does the concept of inherently governmental play into this? Because you could argue that lawn mowing or custodial work is not inherently governmental, and under policy up until recently, that could all be outsourced. In fact, most of it has been.
Yes, no, there's nothing about mowing the lawn at a park or at Independence Hall that falls in the category of inherently governmental, and I would argue that's probably the same as true up in West Virginia. The inherently governmental ban, all that says is you can't, that's another ban on agencies. If it's an inherently governmental function, you cannot outsource it. You cannot contract it out. So that ban really doesn't really apply in this particular situation or this both situations.
So if it is inherently governmental, you can't outsource it. But if it's not, that doesn't mean you can either.
Right. That's right. So if it is inherently governmental, you cannot outsource it. But if it isn't inherently governmental, you have to look at all the other rules and how much money you have and your statutory authority from Congress as to what you can do.
The American Federation of Government Employees, in the letter to the White House, takes issue with the level of guidance the Office of Management and Budget has given agencies on this. I just want to get your take. Has the White House given agencies adequate direction in terms of how they should apply this law?
Probably not. They probably, given that this situation, I think, will come up more and more as budgets shrink and agencies get creative, they probably do need to explain themselves in a more clear fashion what the agencies are and are not allowed to do, because as long as there's a void of direction from OMB, each agency is going to be making its own determinations of what's legal and what's not legal, or what's within the policy, or what fits within what the administration wants them to do. And so, yes, I think OMB could do a better job of guiding these agencies so that these issues don't keep coming up.
Sherry Cannon is a partner at Tully Rinke. And Sherry, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.